Everybody, welcome to the press. Great to have you here with us for this week's show about the PGA Tour event on the schedule. It is the Mexico Open at Vedanta World. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. We've got two shows this week. We're going to go over everything related to the Mexico Open at Vedanta World. And then our second show this week, we have a couple of different events to talk about. We've got the LPGA back in the Honda LPGA Thailand, starting off their fall, or well, I guess winter Asian swing. And then we've got on the DP World Tour, one of my favorite events to watch of the year, one of the hardest to bet, in my opinion, but it is the Magical Kenya Open. And then we've still got the Champions Tour off. They're off for 3 weeks after they just finished up the Chubb Classic. And then we're another week away from getting the Korn Ferry Tour back. We're, I think, 3 weeks away it is from another live event in Hong Kong. So we don't have a whole lot of action the next couple of weeks, max three tournaments in a week. That's still good. Still got one show for the PGA Tour, and then we have one for everything else. So let's get into all things Mexico Open. So this is like the third different name for this tournament. It's been called the Mexico Open, the Mexico Open of Vedanta, Mexico Open of Vedanta World. So they've changed the name of Vedanta, I guess, to Vedanta World. Still the same place. Nothing's changed about it. It's the Vedanta Vallarta Resorts in Vallarta, Mexico. So it's on the, well, it's not the Pacific, really. I mean, it is the Pacific, but the main part of Mexico, not the Baja California part, in that kind of Puerto Vallarta area, right on the left side, the left side of the country there, in the kind of central part of it, a little southwest of Mexico City. So you're obviously not at elevation like you are in Mexico City. You're at sea level. This is a very nice resort. I've been invited to go to this tournament a couple different times. It just never really lines up with my schedule. Usually I have a trip I go on right after this tournament every year. It's scheduled every year, so I don't get to go and do this tournament. Would like to go check it out. So this is a golf course that is a resort course. It was built by Greg Norman. It opened in 2016. It's par 71 from the tips. It's 7,436 yards. This is a 132-player field. We did have Monday qualifying for this. This was done pre-Monday qualifying because of the international travel involved, so you don't have people fly out of the country just to play a Monday qualifier. They had it in the United States and then got your Monday qualifier. So we have the entire field. All of that is known. And we've got five top 50 players competing this week. They're competing for a $7 million purse, $1.26 million to the winner. That is a decrease, I believe, of $900,000 from last year's purse. Maybe in that, about that range, not quite in that range. But it's a significant decrease. That's because this event has, like the events in the fall, taken on decreased significance because of the signature events. And with what's coming in the future, next year, once we go down to having just the top 100 in the FedEx Cup qualify for a PGA Tour card, this event potentially could suffer even further. I mean, this could have been a 144, 156 person event, but you'd be pulling in people from all kinds of obscure places to play. So 132 players is probably the right fit here. Again, 500 FedEx Cup points to the winner. This is a tournament really meant for guys that don't have the best status, guys that are trying to get some points so they can get in that swing five so they can get into Bay Hill. Maybe they can get into that next 10 if they have a win and a good week. Then that way they're going to get into Bay Hill. Create some opportunities to get into signature events because this is really your best chance. You've got, after this, the Cognizant event, you know, at PGA National, which just changed hands in ownership. And then, you know, before you know it, you're at Bay Hill, you're at the Players. You're running out of time here to make your move early on in the season if you are a Korn Ferry Tour graduate, DP World Tour graduate, or a Q School graduate. So this is a big week for those players. And you'll see it in the way that the field is reflected. Again, five top 50 players. Jake Knapp is the defending champion of this tournament. He played very well here last year. And I think a lot of people were on him. We were on him last year. I think a lot of people saw what he was building up toward. Seems to kind of develop this reputation between last year and this year as an early season star. I think that's a reason to like him in the title defense this week. But I think the other thing to take away from this graphic and Vedanta Vallarta is that, yes, it is a resort course, but more importantly, it's a resort course designed for long hitters to hit the ball with impunity. And we've seen that in who's won here in the 3 years they've played here. And who's come close, frankly. And we're going to talk about horses for courses here in a little bit. But the past champions and the players who really finished in the top three will indicate to you this is a place for bombers, and that's who you should be thinking about first and foremost. this week. Let's go ahead and take a look at the betting odds for the top 18, 20 players in the field this week. Again, 132-player field. Akshay Bhatia, highest-ranked player in the field, I think, outside of Aaron Rye. I think Aaron Rye is higher ranked. But he is 14-1, coming off of finally a good finish, finally getting a season going with Torrey. Kurt Kitayama is 18-1, along with Rasmus Højgaard. Kitayama's played well here in the past as a runner-up here. Just a good long hitter of the golf ball. He seems to line up well with places that are just kind of long, and you just got to hit it out there as hard as you can. And you think about the place that he won on the PGA Tour in Bay Hill, and you go, well, how can those two things be the same? Well, if you think about how you gain strokes off the tee, it's primarily off of distance and what's left of the hole. The secondary part is the lie that you're in, more or less. You know, if everyone's hitting from the fairway, you've got an advantage. Or if everyone's hitting from short grass, you've got an advantage. But if also everyone's hitting from deep rough because it's hard to hit fairways, you also have an advantage as a longer, stronger player because you're going to play from closer to the hole. So the advantage is one and the same, hitting the ball long. Doesn't really matter what you're hitting it into. So that's why Kitayama really makes sense on both different types of courses. Got Michael Kim and Patrick Rogers and Sam Stevens at 25-1. Patrick Rogers is, and we're going to talk about him a little bit more later on, horses for courses, but he is really the horse for course that's playing this week. Finau's not playing, so we've got to extract him from it. Otherwise, this is your guy. Like, this is the guy, I would argue, in terms of horse for course plays in Patrick Rogers. And it is interesting that he's playing here, coming off of a great week. I know he's played 287 starts on the PGA Tour without winning. So what's another one? But he just made a lot of money and had a lot of FedEx Cup points over the weekend, and he's decided to come play again. I think there's a reason he feels that way. Michael Kim's been playing the best golf of his career for probably the last 18 months or so. I mean, he's really kind of figured out how to play on the PGA Tour and find a place for himself. Played very well in Phoenix. I think he accounted himself very well there. Sam Stevens has had a very good start of the year. Doing very good in the FedEx Cup standings. So he's, you know, someone that you're looking toward this week as a guy that has good early season form. Not necessarily really anything else to go for it, but good early season form. Did play well toward the end of last year. Harry Hall's 30-1. Steve Yeager's 30-1. Taylor Moore's 30-1. Of those, I mean, Harry Hall's been very consistent for a number of months now. He won the ISCO Championship in Kentucky at a golf course somewhat like this in length, somewhat like this in terms of penalty, which is to say not much off the tee. I mean, there's some water at the ISCO course, but and there is some here. There's just not a ton of it that's especially scary. Yeager is one of your horse for course plays here, has a top three finish here, has played well in this tournament a couple of different times, seems to play well in the southwestern climates in particular, you know, Texas and Arizona and down here. So I think maybe there's something to that, but he's also just a hard hitter of the golf ball. Aaron Rye's 33-1. We've talked about him a couple of different times so far this year. That the thing about Aaron is last year an aberration or is it his new level of normal? Not quite sure of that yet. So 33-1 feels like the market's kind of weakened on him to a degree. Alex Smalley, I think some people are going to be on at 35-1. Defending champions, 35-1. And Jake Knapp, I think a lot of people are going to be on him to defend. Ben Griffin's 35-1. I don't think he's long enough. I mean, I think he's straight enough. I just don't think he's long enough. This isn't kind of the track for him. Kevin Yu's interesting at 40-1, has a decent track record here, along with Bo Hostler. Nikolai Højgaard, got both Højgaards this week. Nicholas Norgaard, who you may not know as well, but great player, great developing player for the DP World Tour. I'm not going to bet him here this week. I can understand the case for, though. Justin Lauer's 45-1 as well. Before we get into more players in the field, let's go over the top 10 in my model. Again, this model is available in full to our members at golfnewsnet.com. $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, and $100 for 3 years. But this is our top 10. We give it away to free to everybody, including you watching and listening to the show. So Aaron Rye is number one. Again, that's on the basis of a longer-term model. If you were to tell me that you wanted me to make you a short-term model, I would expect him to be 10 to 14 on that list, not number one. But in terms of consistency, he had a very consistent last year in particular, so that really helps him out. Kurt Kitayama is number two on the list, which is, again, not shocking. He gains a lot of strokes, and that's the basis upon my model. That's the basis upon which I evaluate players is, do you gain strokes? If you gain strokes, eventually, if you gain enough of them, you probably can win. And that's Kitty Yama. Steve Yeager, third, not surprising. Victor Perez gets some outsized love in my model a little bit, but he is also a hard hitter of the golf ball, so I do like him quite a bit this week. I probably will not bet him, but I would put an asterisk next to him. There's a reason he's there, but I don't love the reason. Taylor Moore is fifth, and that may lead me to bet him. Ben Silverman, sixth. Ben Griffith, seven. Griffith's just one of those guys that just gains a lot of strokes, but if you look at the way that he performs his best, where he performs his best, tends to be on these kind of tighter, shorter, narrower tracks where the distance that he doesn't really have doesn't hurt him as much. I think it hurts him here because a lot of the players in this field are just going to bomb the hell out of the ball, and he's going to be left in the dust a lot. Jackson Suber, I think, is a guy from the Corn Ferry Tour that has a very bright future. I'm probably going to bet him this week. I've seen him 110 to 1. CT Pan, 9th. Akshay, 10th. Akshay, I think, is an interesting play this week. I mean, I can't bet him at 14-1. I know he's a two-time PGA Tour winner. I can't bet him at this number because he does his best work against weaker competition, yes, and he just had a good finish. But I don't think that he's going to thrive in a place where he can't be creative. The places he seems to have done the best in his wins, right, at Truckee in California for the Barracuda, and then at TPC San Antonio, those courses require some degree of imagination. This is not an imagination place, and I think that will work against Akshay Bhatia this week. Of course, I could be proven totally wrong. He hits the ball straight all week and then wins. But that's my thinking about trying to bet a guy at 14-1. Mentioned horses for courses to some degree. Again, we only have 3 years of this event. So normally I'm looking at the last 5 years of an event. I want to see if you finish in the top 15 of that multiple times. Well, we don't really have a lot of years of this event. And the other thing is, if you play well in this event, and you probably don't want to come back. Not because it's a bad event, but because you're going to go get access to other ones. Tony Finau's not playing this week. He's played this event very well. John Rahm's obviously not on this tour anymore. He's played this event well. Those are two winners, and then you've got Jake Knapp. So a lot of the guys who have played well here in the past don't want to be back here. And that's, again, not a slam on it. It's just how it is. So if you're one of kind of those middling guys who continues to do well here, and you're sitting on the outside looking in of the next signature event, which is Bay Hill, this is a good week for you. Maybe you can make up some points, make up some ground, find a way in there, get some money, get some more points, get another chance to play a signature event. So there's a different kind of flow and thought process to playing this event, potentially in future years if it continues. But knowing that, all said, we only have four horses for courses. Steve Yeager, Patrick Rogers is number one. Carson Young's been in the top 15 twice here in 3 years. And then Kurt Kitayama, I put an asterisk with him just because he's a runner-up finisher. If you think about the three winners here, we don't have two of them in Rahm and Finau, but we do have Kurt Kitayama, and I think he kind of fits the bill very well. We talked about those past champions just a minute ago, but again, just to reiterate, we only have three of them. So we don't have a tremendous history of this event, but if you look at the profile of all three of them, they hit the ball far, they hit it hard, they tend to like to work a fade, but the primary thing is they hit the ball hard and kind of hit it sort of low. The only thing I would think about here, again, this being a resort course, it is by the water. It could be susceptible to the wind. That's really the only scoring defense this thing has is wind when it's really windy. Otherwise, it's kind of a free-for-all. And just keep an eye on the weather when you're looking at that. But at least in terms of early week analysis, just know this is a bomber's place. With that in mind, let's take a look at some more guys for this week. 50-1s. CT Pan, who actually did well in my model. Michael Thor Bjornsson, who is finally starting to kind of come out to the positive. He seems to be just kind of not listless, but he hasn't figured out what he is and how to be his best. He obviously hits the ever living hell out of the ball and could play this golf course very, very well. I don't like him at 50-1. If you could find him at a 70-1, I'd be all over him. But just not quite there. Torbjørn Olesen's 50-1. Grayson Sigg. Jesper Svensson, who I think is a superstar in the making. And he does very well in my model, 55-1. Ryan Gerard, Matt Wallace are both 55-1. I like Ryan Gerard a lot. played very well on the Korn Ferry Tour last year. At one point, he was probably one of the hottest players on the planet playing that tour. I don't see it quite yet for him on the PGA Tour, not like when he first came out and tried to get into the PGA Tour by special temporary status, but he obviously is good enough to play at this level. Aldrich Potgieter is a guy I think a lot of people are going to be on this week. I am on him. This number is from an overseas book. This is not from a American-based book. I've seen him at 70-1. I've seen him at 100-1. He's going to be bet down. I think you could safely bet him in the 70 to 80 range and higher. I think 60 would be too short. I don't think that's good enough of a value. But the thing I like about Potgieter so much is that he, again, hits the ever-living heck out of it. He could keep it under the wind. He can hit a 2-iron of his like 300 yards, which is unbelievable. And he just has that kind of young guy's mentality. He's going to play super aggressive. And I like that in a tournament like this. Charlie Hoffman, Antoine Rosner, 60-1. Eric Van Rooyen, Kevin Roy, Mac Meisner, who I like quite a bit, 60-1. Probably not going to bet him, but I do like his game. Patrick Fishburne, Ryan Fox. Ryan Fox is really interesting to me. I really thought he would find his footing better on this tour faster, and he hasn't. But he hits the ball so hard, and he can beat really good competition. I don't know why it hasn't happened for him yet. Again, I would like him a little bit longer than this, but I want to just kind of point him out as a guy I think can do it out here. Carson Young, 65-1, is a better bet than Ryan Fox because Carson Young has shown he's getting better. He's starting to acclimate to this tour. He has a good track record on this golf course. There's really not a lot to dislike. Ben Silverman at 70-1 came out great. My model may just be a play on the basis of, hey, I like my model. Let's go into a couple more guys here. And then the last slide, we're going to talk a little bit about players that are just super mega long shots that I think are at least worth considering. Frankie Sabin III, I think I've mentioned before. I really like his game. He's going to be good on this tour. He hits the ball long. He's a hard-hitting player. I think he can do very well this week with no reason to really be afraid off the tee. There's nothing to worry about. Make as many birdies and eagles as you can. Try to get to 20 under par. See if you can win this thing. I like him a lot. Jacob Bridgman, Matty Schmidt are 70-1. Ricky Castillo, Sam Ryder, Victor Perez, 80-1. I do like Victor Perez. Chris Goddard, Lanto Griffin, Vincent Norman. Vincent Norman's kind of interesting at 80-1, but not enough for me to bet him. Chandler Phillips, 90-1. Joe Highsmith. I've seen some people there that like Highsmith in 90-1. Chris Ventura, 90-1. I can understand the enjoyment of betting Chris Ventura. I probably have bet him twice at this event. For the same theory of the case that I bet Jake Knapp last year and will bet Aldrich Potgieter this year, he hits the crap out of the ball, needs a place to kind of just land the ball, but it hasn't quite paid off yet. Rico Hoey's a little bit better than I think this 90-1 number would suggest. Alejandro Tosti, I've seen some people say they want to be on him. Again, long hitter of the golf ball, plays with abandon, hits it really hard. It kind of makes sense. I can be fine with that. Matt McCarty is a guy I want to point out here because he hasn't played particularly well in the 2025 season, and that's because he's finally getting a full tour of the PGA Tour schedule to see what he likes, to see what he doesn't. He's playing courses against great fields. You know, he's got access to really the best events right now because he's got that fresh wind coming off the Korn Ferry Tour and doing it at Black Desert. I think you could see some parallels between Black Desert and here because Black Desert, wide open. I mean, obviously, it had the volcanic rock everywhere, and that was the deterrent. But wide open fairways, plenty of space to play. You could kind of hit it with impunity, more or less. I think that's going to work out pretty well for Matt McCarty this week. Not saying he's going to win. And I like Jackson Subra more at 110-1 than Matt McCarty at 100-1. However, just want to point him out because I think that win at Utah at Black Desert will kind of come through here. And then just a couple more guys to point out on the kind of long shot thoughts. Tristan Lawrence is 110-1. I realized in the last slide I had guys that were 110-1. I just wanted to point him out because I think he could play very well here. He's skipping the DP World Tour event this week in Kenya for a couple of reasons. One, the purse is $4.5 million less. And two, he's a member of the PGA Tour trying to get a PGA Tour status more secure than he has it. But I think he's playing this event and could do very well in it. And I like his game quite a lot. He seems to get in contention a whole heck of a lot. We'll see if that translates to the PGA Tour, but I do like his game quite a bit. Carl Phillips, 150-1. You're going to see him wearing Sunday red Australian kid, came out, I think his sixth start on the Corn Ferry Tour and won, basically locked up a card for himself in the process. He hasn't really played. He's a guy I like a lot. Of the people that just came off the Corn Ferry Tour, I like Frankie Sappin III and Carl Phillips the most. I have a feeling not too long from now, Carl Phillips is going to be a guy who's like 70 to 1 to win tournaments, 60 to 1 to win tournaments. He might win sooner than you think. And then one last guy I want to point out, thanks to, I don't even remember who I listened to on X or Twitter about this, but Cristobal Del Solar, Mr. 57, the guy who shot 57 at the Korn Ferry Tour event in Colombia last year, got his PGA Tour card through that tour last year. Not been playing well, but he is 1250 to 1. And he's a long hitter. It's on a golf course where it should kind of free him up a little bit, maybe take his mind off of what his struggles have been so far. That just seems too much for a guy that can shoot 57. So I'm going to put like $3 on it. And if it pays off, cool. If not, then I lost $3. But I wanted to point that out because I feel like that number is especially absurd. And he could go and shoot 85, 85, and the books prove themselves right for hand that kind of number. But I am a sucker for that kind of insane pricing. So I am going to take that 1250 to one number and put a dollar, two or three on it and see what happens. Because I bet way worse odds for way more money on stupider stuff than Cristobal Del Solar. So I'm gonna go take a chance on that. All right, that's going to do it for us on this week's show about the PGA Tour event, the Mexico Open of the Vedanta World. We'll have one more show this week. We've got the LPGA in Thailand for their Winter Asian Swing Honda LPGA Thailand 72-player event. Pretty good feel. We'll run our model for it, and we'll give you the results there. And then the Magical Kenya Open is the other event of the week. Everybody else is off or not playing. So we've got two more events to cover in our second episode this week. Thank you if you're watching on video. Very much appreciate it. If you're catching us on audio as we started this show a couple of years ago, very much appreciate it as well. You can watch us on Golf News Net TV, available on the Golf News Net app for Roku. You can find us on Amazon Fire as well, and then we've got some apps forthcoming. We'll give you some more news about that sooner than later. You also watch Channel 24/7 in the GNN app, as well as on Freecast and Free Live Sports, with more distribution coming in the future. We'll talk about that as well. If you want to watch us on socials or on video on demand, it's on our apps as well as on YouTube. Or if you just want to catch us in audio only format, you can catch us on whatever podcast platform of choice that you like, including an audio only version of our show that is on YouTube. Just search Golf News Net Radio. You can subscribe there. All of our podcasts are available there in audio-only form. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thank you so much for watching or listening, and we'll talk to you in the next one here on The Press.